brother. What's up?
This is a groovy party, man.
Yeah, brother. Like, stop. Right on.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love.
The Empowerment Hour, the hottest show on Saturday mornings in Jacksonville on Praise 107.9. And now, here's your host on the Empowerment Hour, Dr. Richard Danforth, president of the Jacksonville Urban League, Jarman Leitner, president of First Thursday, and the producer and host, W. Larry Williams, CEO of Anchor Multicultural Communications Company.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Empowerment Hour. This is your host, Larry Williams, along with my co-host, Dr. Richard Danforth, the president of the Jacksonville Urban League, and Jarman Leitner, president of Harvest Mental Health Services in Jacksonville in North Florida. Good morning, team, and happy Saturday, listeners. So glad to be alive and well for another 24 hours. There's a lot going on, as usual. Jarman in Jacksonville and across the country, but let's start with some good news here. I think you probably still counting your money, all that that stimulus, those stimulus checks.
Yes,
entered into your bank account this weekend. Dr. Danforth and I be over there to get a loan or something, pretty soon. But happy Saturday, Jarman. What's going on?
Happy Saturday, everyone. Happy Saturday to my Empowerment Hour team. Just grateful for another Saturday to be with you all. Happy spring. We're in the spring season, ready for a new season, ready for that warm weather. Not so much the pollen, but it comes along with it. So taking some of that allergy medicine to try to combat that. I want to give just a quick shout out and congratulations to my alma mater, Fisk University, and the Fisk University Jubilee Singers on winning a Grammy for the best roots gospel album this year. So shout out to Fisk University for that accomplishment.
Oh, oh, FU.
Great. FU, that's right.
Hey, Dr. Danforth, there's a lot going on around the vaccines and the distribution of the vaccines. And one of the headlines is saying that 40% of vaccine doses available at federal state sites in Jacksonville since early March haven't been administered. Where are those doses? Why aren't they being used? 40%, that's a lot of people that could be vaccinated.
Yeah, good morning to our listeners. Yep, Larry, I predicted several weeks ago that we will be able to get those vaccines out of the trunks of our cars. And we don't know where those vaccines are. But the good news is, I think that we're coming around to our senses in that we need to start immunizing everyone. Okay. All of these age requirements and various professions. And I guess it's a plan, but let's figure out a way that folk, that we don't have to throw away any of these vaccines. They're just too important,
And I think one of the things, Doc, that's going on though, is that the distribution plan was flawed from the start. Probably wasn't so much the process as the lack of enough vaccines to go around. And we can point fingers and say that more should have been ordered in advance. But, we're dealing with something that are not familiar with COVID-19 and trying to understand whether these vaccines will actually work. But, we were going to have Congressman Lawson on in the next segment. And what we want to talk about you know, as all of these dollars, Doc and Jarman, that's going around. And we talk about the half penny sales tax. We haven't seen anything on that. We talk about the Congressman Lawson is talking about the small business allocation to city of Jacksonville and Duval County, North Florida, $187 million. That's probably going through the mayor's office. We probably won't see any of that. And then they're talking about the increase in the gas tax up from 6 to 12 cents per gallon. You know, we'll see a lot of that because it's coming out of our pocket. You know?
Yes, we'll feel that. Yes, we'll see that.
But you know what? I guess my point is that, you know, we're always paying into the system, but we never get paid back. You know, it's systemic. It's ongoing. They come to us and ask for our votes on these different referendums and bills and things. And once they're voted, we don't hear from them anymore unless we call and beg and get down on our knees and plead for some money. So where's the money?
Even before these
projects, we're filling out. I don't know if you all see it, but just even an increase in the food industry. You know, the price of groceries as well.
Absolutely.
As dining out. So we're having to take the absorb that cost as the consumer because restaurants have to try to recoup their money. So on the business side, we understand, but as well as on the consumer side, it hurts. So those stimulus checks really help a lot of Americans, not just pay the bills and the outstanding bills, their rent, but just the increase in the cost of living due to the COVID pandemic shutdown and the annual 3% increase in the cost of living that we're still going to have to absorb as well.
Well, let's go back. Let's go back to all of this federal money that will drop here in Jacksonville. I believe into the mayor's office again, because on last year when we received the millions of dollars in CARES money, then the mayor alone decided how to dispense those federal dollars. And so what we're concerned about is that now that we have a new administration in Washington, will that impact our ability to gain insight into the process for the distribution of these funds? Because we're being left out in our communities. And they put up the front that we're putting money into septic tanks, you know, septic tanks are fine, but we need the other things to help these communities. And so let's figure out how we can get the mayor to be more equitable in how he disperses the money. Because right now, the city council pretty much and members will follow whatever the mayor says. And so we see them on TV, and so they're lockstep. So yeah. It just seems to me we don't have any power. We don't have anyone
to help the situation. But Doc, you know as well as I do that and you're absolutely correct. And the only way we're going to get power is to demand power. And since we're going to be talking to Congressman Lawson coming up in the next segment, those are some things we need to make sure that we're holding him and accountable for, to hold the mayor accountable. These are federal dollars. These aren't city dollars. These are federal dollars, and those federal dollars come with the fact that you know, minority participation is mandated, not you know, suggested. So we're gonna have to hold Congressman Lawson to the feet to the fire. And the mayor's office and anyone else who's controlling the budgets.
So all of the money that is coming down, including the stimulus checks, is all federal money. Is that correct? Okay. So even with the federal money, with the stimulus checks, I just wanted to highlight to beware of the scammers. Also beware, because when you file your taxes this year, there is an extension to May 17th, but scammers are out there ready to try to take your information so that they can transfer that money out of your account into their account. And I've been almost a victim of that.
Right. That's not right.
It's not right. But it actually happened to me.
Why would they do that, John?
It actually happens. So they will send a fraudulent email that will be a replica of whatever bank it is that you bank with. And if you click on any of those links, they can potentially get your information and hack into your account. So just be aware of the scams that are coming around to take this money.
Word to the wise, do not respond to emails or phone calls.
Contact
your personal information, because that's how they hack you. You know, don't respond. Call your bank if you have if your bank is sending you a message, something is wrong. So call them. Don't respond back to that email, because once you're in their system, they can control and copy your keystrokes on your computer. So with that being said, in the next segment, we're going to hear from Congressman Al Lawson from Florida's 5th District, and we'll have a good conversation after this music selection. Roger, give us something real nice and upbeat on this next selection.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
Admittedly, I can be anxious at times as I consider the challenges I have to face. Like when I work to get ahead and still fall behind, I start to wonder if I was meant to win the race. Striving to do things right, and when things go wrong, tempted to hide. But this time I will be still. This time I will be still. Thankfully, it's hard for me to keep feeling this way when I consider who is on my side.
The Lord is my help,
walking with me every step I need to take. On the desperate days and the long dark nights, oh,
24/7 he never sleeps.
Thank you, Father.
And
when I remember, he brings me. Must obey the words that I speak and bow down to my faith, because I've got a word to do and I'm gonna see it through. God showed me the way and I'm choosing it today. The mountain has to move, the mountain must obey. Just
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Empowerment Hours. Larry Williams, along with Dr. Richard Danford at Jacksonville Urban League, Jarman Light over at Harvest Mental Health Services, and our special guest this morning, Congressman Al Lawson, and money is in people's banks accounts and so forth already. Congress is passing that. Tell us about what's in there for Black businesses in the 5th District.
That's a very good question, and there's quite a bit that you can look for small businesses. And what is important is that many of the restrictions that they had in the CARES package under the PPP has been lifted, which gives small business more leeway. One of the things that I want you to be familiar with, there's going to be about $185.75 million come down to local government. And what I mean by that, like the other day, I was on the call with Tama Hazuri and I talked to the mayor. There's going to be quite a bit of other money that is available that can also be used for small business purposes for different projects in the Duval community because of all that money that's coming down to small business. But oftentimes when money come down to the local government, small businesses Urban League or other people like that oftentimes don't know about it. And so when the mayor says, I'm going to give this kind of money, that kind of money, you need to know where that money came from because of the way the government is designed. And so being large, that means that it gets a lot more money. For example, Jacksonville get $185 million. Places like Tallahassee only get about $53 million. And so all through the district in Baker and Madison, all of them, there's a much smaller, but compared to where we are in Duval, is we got a lot of money that is actually coming
in. Well, Congressman, I hear that we're talking about a lot of money, but unfortunately, there is no confidence in the people who administer the funding. If you think back to the CARES Act, when the mayor received $160+ million, I mean, they were not inclusive in terms of who they provided those fundings for. I mean, numerous nonprofit organizations received funding, and I'm saying, but there were others that were left out. So, unfortunately, in Jacksonville, if everything is political, and if there's not a good relationship with the mayor, then our community will continue to be left behind. And currently, there is not a good relationship. And you, Congressman, your office is in City Hall, and you understand quite a bit, what is happening with our community and the relationship that our community has with the mayor. You know, we continue to have the separate Martin Luther King breakfast. We can't bring people together. So we throw up all this money. Now the mayor wants us to pass a 12 cents gas tax in order to get $1 billion so they can play with some more money. I mean, and nobody believes this septic tank deal. That's just, but I wanted to get that off and say we appreciate the work that you're doing bringing resources to this city, but we need to look at how we more equitably distribute those resources and not because of political ideologies.
Well, that's a great concern. And when I kind of must have spent an hour or so the other day with Tama Hazuri, and Tama expressed the same thing that you were expressing. So I told Tommy is that we'll get ready pretty soon to go on the Easter break, which they call a district work week, for about 2 weeks. And I have called to make sure that I have an appointment with the mayor so that I can talk to him about this funding and what it means to the community. And then at the same time and do a Zoom meeting with leaders in the community, business leaders, especially African-American, about the amount of resources that is actually coming down. Let me give you a good example. And the mayor doesn't really know about this as much, but I want you all to know. They stopped doing earmarks doing it with Congressman Brown and Obama administration back in 2007 or 2008. Well, 2 weeks ago, Laura Denara, who is now the appropriation chair, have decided that they're going to do earmarks again. But one of the things had to happen, I got about 2 weeks to try to make this work. They're going to allow from the 5th Congressional District for me to submit 10 projects. And then they're going to evaluate the projects, you know. And I guess none of the city council or the mayor really knows about it, but I'm supposed to tell them about it because it come up. And what it means is that once we submit them the first week or so in April, the appropriation committee is going to take them up in June. And they're going to take them up in June and doing the budget for 2022. When I talked with Tama Hazura and told him about it, he mentioned, I heard you mention about the septic tank issue. So I told him I didn't care how much it really costs. They just gave me a figure. If it's $30 million or whether it's $40 million, it doesn't make any difference. Is that we can put that in and that takes the load off local government so other things can be accomplished within the city. It's just like, for example, we were able to get $98 million to build a clinic there for veterans, you know, which would keep them sometimes from having to go to Gainesville, but have a clinic there. I told them I didn't care where to put it as long as we put the clinic there. They said, oh, it might go in Rutherford there. I said, I don't care if we go in Rutherford there as long as we get the health care clinic for the military.
Congressman Lawson, on your appropriations, it says that you have 10 projects that you can request funding for. Are you seeking projects from the public to present for your appropriations? Are you vetting those? Or how's that going to work?
What they want, whatever project you submit, when they start contacting, and this is what appropriation staff would do, start talking, they want to know how does a community feel about it.
Right.
You know, I say this project's okay. They won't take it from us saying that this project is great, even though we can say it. But they want to know whether the local government and citizens in the community say, yeah, this is a worthy project.
Well, that's now, the problem. That's the problem getting the local government to decide the worthy projects in the Black community.
You know, we have to have communications, you know, with the mayor's office. We can't be shut out. Right. Small businesses, I mean, you know, we're just running to the same roadblocks with the half penny sales tax and now they're talking about a gas tax and now these appropriations, these dollars come, this $187 million, you know, we need to make sure, you know, that those dollars are federal dollars that are coming in that Black businesses participate in the reward.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's been a struggle for a lot of people.
That's been a struggle. Yeah. It's a struggle for me. Everybody that owns a small business in Jacksonville and Florida.
Yeah, and I did a press release yesterday because our U.S. Senator Rick Scott was saying that a lot of that money needed to be sent back to the federal government. You know, and I did a press release so it'd be all over the state and say that. My U.S. Senator, my colleague is off base. As much as we've been hurt by this pandemic, you know, there's no way that he should be saying that some of that money need to go back to the federal government.
Absolutely. You know,
we have people in need, and I said, I take exception with what he is saying. I'm pretty soon, he might contact me pretty soon, because I think it's supposed to hit today. Well, did that the press conference? Mm-hmm. It's going to hit today and be all over the state. I thought that was an insult. To us, for him to even say that the signal goes back to the federal government.
You know, absolutely.
And, I'm going to stay on top of that. I've been trying to get my colleague, Rutherford, to also join in because he voted against all this money coming down. But now what they're saying is that the money is available. They voted against. I don't know how you can vote against this as much need that we have in Jacksonville,
Well, because it's not in their neighborhoods. That's why they don't see the need. But, Congressman, we're going to have to wrap it up here. We really appreciate you hopping on. And don't be a stranger. Come back and visit again. We'd love to hear from you. And thanks for all that you're doing across the state and especially in the 5th District.
But look, Ms. Williams, I hope that, and I want to say this too, there was quite a bit of money that's coming down also for Edward Waters, for the state colleges, and for the University of North Florida.
All right. Well, this is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. We're going to take our next music break, and we'll be back.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams, along with Dr. Richard Danford and Jarman Leitner, and we're joined with our special guest and education contributor, Daryl Willie, vice chair of the Duval County Public School Board. Daryl, welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. Love to have you on every Saturday morning and talking about education and what's going on with our kids at Duval County Public Schools. First off, want to find out, you know, there's a lot of talk about the school name changes and the consolidations, et cetera. There are estimates out there that the name changes are going to cost upwards to $2 million, which I know that those numbers, you know, can be skewed anyway, up or down, depending on how it transfers. What's going on with that? Is that something used to another tactic used to keep people from voting for the changes?
Yeah, I mean, it may be. We're trying to be transparent as a board. First of all, thanks for having me on, as always. I love these Saturday mornings. It's like a great cup of coffee coming on here, getting some energy in the morning.
Just looking glasses, by the way.
I appreciate that. But honestly, I don't know if it's a ploy for that. I think some folks can use it for that, but we're also trying to be very transparent about the process. So folks have asked the question, how are you going to pay for it? So we looked at what it would cost. We looked back at past school name changes, and we said, here's an estimate of what it would cost based on inflation. So that's the number we came up with. That doesn't mean it's going to come from sales tax dollars, which it will not. We've already said we will not come from sales tax dollars. That was one of the big complaints. And two, we do have some partners, Public Education Fund, that has actually opened up a fund to say, hey, if you want to donate to this. Of course, we're not pushing folks to that yet because no decision has been made. But there are options and opportunities for this to be paid for out of general operating that we have, plus outside private funders. So I don't think that should be a factor, in my opinion, because it's not really, if you think about the elementary schools specifically, they're not that much money to change it, and even some of the middle and high schools. So I think people should vote the way that they feel based on what they think the name does to that school and that school community. And the money is not really, it is not an exorbitant amount of money in my mind, compared to the big budget that we have as a school district, if it's going to make real change happen.
Okay. So Daryl, we've been talking offline as a team and also with other community leaders. We still haven't seen anything in concrete about the next steps for the half penny sales tax and how its impact on the Black community in Jacksonville. I'm just going to call it like it is. I don't want to add anything to it. I don't want to take anything from it. What are we looking? What's there? What's the timetable? When are we going to meet these general contractors and start building relationships to participate in this almost $2 billion construction deal?
Yeah. So the first parts of that money, I appreciate that question. The first parts of that money, those monies come out at the end of this month. So March 31st, those monies kind of get handed over to us based on the taxes coming in. And we have that oversight committee, which is sort of that second or third set of eyes that we have that sort of looks at that. So they'll meet soon thereafter to sort of look at how those monies get distributed out to both our public schools, which is us and Duval County Public Schools, but also our charter schools. And then they'll sort of do an assessment about that. And then they'll actually start inviting folks out to talk through like what their projects are. So we have a plan right now and project plan, but we haven't started really implementing huge parts of that plan because the money's not there. But we have started in sort of this model phase with Rutledge Pearson as a model school to get that project going. So there's an architect that they did sort of sign on, and they're starting to do some design.
Who's that architect?
I don't know specifically what the name of the architect is. I can get back to you on that one, though. But that
it's important that we have these folks' names and things so that we can, you know, through our own avenues and things, start making contacts and building relationships. But right. Go ahead.
But what I'll say is what we say every time is if you are a vendor or contractor out here in Duval County, you need to go and sign up to be a vendor. Our Office of Equal Opportunity, go in and sign up to be a vendor because you will get the notices and notifications every time there is a bid or a call out for a bid. And that's what you want to know is that, so you can sort of respond to that. if you're not on that list, you're not necessarily going to get that information because you're not a certified vendor with our organization. And there are a lot, we have a lot of minority owned businesses that are already in the fold, but our goal is to get even more, because the more that we have in the fold, the more the percentage or goals are going to increase for each project.
So Daryl, I wanted to add I guess, a question about a lot of this funding that's coming down, specifically with the COVID-19 relief package that includes billions of dollars specifically to address the lag in the academics for a lot of students due to the challenges that they faced during the shutdown. So summer programs, after school programs, and other enrichment programs. So how can small businesses who provide those type of services get involved with providing that service and utilizing some of that funding?
That's such a great thought. I'm glad you brought that up too, Jeremy. Like, I think at the end of the day, once again, first step, go make sure you're signed up to be a vendor. And then once you're a vendor too, like, there's nothing, as you see some of these funds start to come in, or even before you see the funds start to come in, if you have a program that you feel could be a great supplement and a help, you should go ahead and email the district, email me, email the superintendent, and that'll actually get funneled to the right person. And then if we do get some funds, they may say, you know what, this is a great presentation, let's get that going. There is a process depending on how much it is. If it's a certain dollar amount, it has to go through board and all these other pieces. But some of our programs don't. Our superintendent has the autonomy to be able to supplement and push things into schools based on what her data analysis is. And if it's not over a certain dollar amount, you can actually sign those contracts on that sort of district level and not have to come to a board. So encourage folks to sign up and get on. And then if you do have a proposal, go ahead and shoot that over, because we're always looking for great ideas and great local programs to help supplement our students, because we know where we are. We know there could be a potential lag, and we want to supplement as much as we can.
Hey, Daryl.
Yes, sir.
Quickly, I know we're running out of time, but can you speak to students' progress here? We're here in March. School we're out of school, June something, whatever date, March, April, May. So we've got about two or three months left. What is the state of our students' performance? And maybe speak to the testing that eventually will take place, and how does that fit in with some of the other things that's happening around education here?
Yeah, it's all interconnected. There's so much intersectionality between what our last conversation or talk with the Jarman around, like, resources and supplements and some of these CARES Act funds, but also like the work that's happening in schools. Like, we do something called a PMA assessment, which is sort of a guidepost where you actually assess people along the way, our students along the way, to see where they are. And those assessments came back. We knew there was going to be some lag. It wasn't actually as detrimental as we thought. Math was a little bit low in some of the sort of middle grades areas, but math is one you could actually pick up really quickly and sort of change really quickly, unlike some of the literacy ones where it's really based on the foundation. So we're not seeing as much lag as we thought, but also that PMA assessment is just an assessment and sort of a practice for the test. We don't know what's really going to be on the test, and the test is still happening. So we're still doing the test. The state is still administering the test. They have extended the window out for it to be a little bit longer, but we'll know more after our students take the test. But we feel like they're as prepared as they could be during this pandemic. Plus, we're adding extra supplements, as we talked about before, to get them ready before that test actually happens. So I just encourage folks, if you have a learner or a student out there, definitely have conversations with them, have conversations with their teachers and their to find out where they are, if there's any gaps that they need to sort of supplement to make sure they're ready for those assessments that are coming up here in the next few weeks or so.
Okay, Daryl, thanks so much for that information. And we're going to have to take a break here again. Hang on for a minute, because I think John and Doc have some other questions or comments for you. This is Praise 107.9 FM, the Empowerment Hour. We'll be back after this. Music.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience. The ultimate gospel experience.
Now, here we go, y'all. I wrote this little churchy song just to let somebody know that no matter what's happening in our society, you still have the victory, huh? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So don't let this world and the system take you out of the game, huh? You are victorious. Say it like this. Come on, say it, y'all.
I can't give up.
Oh, I can't give up.
I can't give in.
I'm not gonna give in.
Everybody, and welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. Larry Williams, along with Dr. Richard Dampert, Jarman Leitner, and our education contributor, Daryl Willey from the Duval County Public School Board. We were having a discussion about some of the testing and so forth for the children. And Daryl, are we going to have summer schools? Are there going to be time for makeup periods for students who may be failing or lacking some credits?
Yeah, you're going to definitely see some summer options. You're going to see some sort of weekend options potentially as well. Once those funds come in, we'll definitely have more of an idea of what that is. But those are definitely going to be options, because what we don't want is the students to move into the next year and them not to get some of those supports. So you'll definitely see some of those. And when I come back on, I'll make sure, once we solidify those, I'll sort of make sure we publicize those out to the community so they know.
Okay. Are the schools going full in person now? When will that be in person full time?
No, they're still not full in person. There's still a percentage of folks who are still doing the virtual Duval homeroom virtual, which is different than just virtual school. So it's lower than before. It's 15-20% or so. It's 15-ish now, but it's still there. And the question is, they have not yet determined if that is going to if that option will be available next year. It may roll into students that are doing Duval homeroom have to go into full-on Duval virtual school if they do want to take that option, just based on the trends that we're seeing with our state.
Okay, John.
And Daryl, I just wanted to go back to the literacy piece that you spoke of in the last segment, which is basically the ability to read or lack of ability to read, which is very important. It's an important foundation for all children to have. And we see that there's a crisis hidden even with the adult literacy. There was some information that just came out that 20% of people in the U.S. cannot read at all, and 50% of adults can't read past the eighth grade. So that's even a problem with parents can't help their own children read because they can't read. So these summer programs, this funding that's coming out is going to be very essential for our kids, and parents need to get as involved as they can so that they can learn along the way if they can, so that they can provide that support that our students need.
That's a great point. Yeah, we have a new pre-K center going up at the old John Love starting next year. And one of the things we are already thinking about is how do you have that dual approach? Yes, you're teaching those young pre-K K students, but you can also have the parents come in too and learn. And I think that's what we have to do, because at the end of the day, it has to be generational, and you can't just take one generation. You got to take multi-generations with you when it comes to this. So really good point.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and especially since it's a systemic problem, it's not something that's new. It's now it's just finding the right solution. And, you know, whatever it is, it has to be more creative than what we've done in the past. Any other comments for Daryl before we let him go, guys? Daryl, thanks a lot, brother. Appreciate you hopping on there on Saturday mornings and joining us for this cup of coffee and a donut.
That's right. Stay safe out there. Hey, all educators, you can get your vaccine, so go out and get it if you haven't.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
All right. Bye. Thanks, Daryl.
Bye.
Yeah. This is Praise 107.9 FM, the Empowerment Hour. We'll be back after this music selection.
Okay, Larry, you want to close
it? Yeah, I thought about it.
Okay, hold on.
That's all right. He can edit that out. Let's go to Bing.
Okay, so when I hit record, you're going to say, all right, we're here with Bing, because he's here.
Parkinson.
He's here. All right, I'm recording, Roger.
And now we're joined by Bingham Parkinson from the Jacksonville Urban League's Entrepreneur Program. Good morning, Bing, and welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. What's going on with you and the small business department over there at the Jacksonville Urban League?
Good morning, Larry. Thanks for having me. And we have two very important items to communicate to your listening audience. One is we're very excited to learn that the PPP application deadline has been extended March 31st to May 31st.
All right, then. That's what I'm talking about. That's you bring in good news, Ben. Give us some more. We want money.
Yes, sir.
All right. Small businesses need to get on board and get that money.
Yeah, we need that money, though. So it's not like that money over there at the school board. I mean, excuse me. Go ahead.
Another item that I want to communicate is that we are starting a second small business academy, and this one is focused on companies that are looking to grow their business base. And that one will start next Wednesday, the 24th, at 6 o'clock.
Okay, so what's the cost on that, Ben?
No cost. None of the services that we provide here at the Jacksonville Urban League's Entrepreneurial Center is costing any of our clients anything. Everything is absolutely free.
Good. All so right. It's not free for a fee. It's just free, right?
Free. It's just free. Free.
So y'all call up and how do they get in touch with you in the department over there, Bing?
They can call us at 904-723-4010. That's 723-4010.
Awesome, awesome. And just want to say thank you for hopping on and bringing some good news to us. We needed some after the previous interviews we've had this morning. So thank you, and keep the good work going over there at the Urban League and the Entrepreneur Program. You know, these free programs, folks need to take advantage of it. Jarman participated in the program and is enjoying success from it. So it's a lot of folks out there that have gone through to enjoy the benefits of the program. Tell your friends about it, because, you know, when the more businesses, successful and sustainable businesses we have, the stronger our communities become.
Yeah, absolutely. And Larry, like we always say, we can't do it alone. You know, it takes a team of people to be successful in business. So if you're a small business owner,
yes,
I just encourage you to take advantage of this free program that the Jacksonville Urban League is offering to grow your business, start your business, even go through the PPP application. I mean, hey, this is support out here for us, and we need it at this time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Bing, thank you, and we'll talk to you next Friday morning, Saturday morning, and hopefully you'll have some more good news for our small business owners.
Absolutely, and thanks for having me, Larry, and talk with you next week.
All right, thank you. John and Doc, what we got to wrap it up here. It's been a great show, and man, it goes so fast these days. I guess it must be because I'm getting more mature every day.
Maybe so.
I left them speechless, y'all. Don't worry about it. It happens sometimes.
I do have a final comment. I'm hopeful now that we've heard the congressman talk about to indicate what is coming from the federal government to Jacksonville, and we want to make certain that we are included in the processes, particularly as these funds flow to the city of Jacksonville.
Amen.
Okay, I wanted to highlight a couple of things just before we sign off here. Remember that IRS extension for the tax filing date is for everyone to May 17th.
Yes.
Beware of any scammers that are trying to get into your accounts for any money, whether it's from the stimulus check or your IRS refund, if you get a refund. And also just wanted to highlight that there's a farm share food distribution today beginning at 9 a.m. until supplies last. And it's through the Optimus Literacy Institute of America over off Firestone Road. That's 2538 Firestone Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32210. So if you need some food, you can go out today and get some.
Well, that was a mouthful there, John. Well, thank everybody for listening this Saturday. You guys have a great weekend, and we'll look forward to talking to you all next Saturday morning, 8 a.m. on Praise 107.9 FM, the Empowerment Hour.